multidimensional fractal of consciousness currently expressing itself as a human being in the most authentic way that we can imagine. Always remember, take only what resonates and leave the rest. Welcome to Mental Magic. Personal growth and development are topics that are all the rage right now as we move into an age that desires authenticity, vulnerability, and connection with ourselves and with other people without the burden of shame and guilt and expectations. My guest today is a beacon of light who has been on a journey of discovering the genius that lies within her. Ankara is an expert in the human design and gene keys systems, and she is here today to talk about a system that she's developed called the Success Codex Index, as well as to talk about the value of doing the inner work and the peace and freedom that can be found within life. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation as we shared ideas and perspectives on the power of self-inquiry, self-regulation, and of course, self-love. So without further ado, please enjoy Ankara Rose. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. And today I have a beautiful guest with me. I'm so excited to share with you. And I will have her introduce herself.
All right. Hi. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Ankara Rose, and I call myself a sacred business strategist. So I work primarily with women, a few men as well, but really helping people who have a spiritual leaning or even just a spiritual passion in their lives, something that's sacred. And these are the people who I help to create a really aligned business. And in addition to doing this sacred business strategy, I'm also a Gene Keys guide, a certified Gene Keys guide. I'm a human design expert. And I've recently created a system that kind of blends those two into business called the Success Codex.
I'm so excited to dig into the Success Codex. But first, the question that I asked all of my guests is, what does it feel like to be you?
Ooh, it's such a big question. I'm just going to riff here, right? So I have a lot of emotional stability. So it feels really grounded to be me. I have a mind that is always curious and always seeking and always exploring. I'm definitely someone who's heart-led. And even though I like to bring my logic in and discernment in, for certain, I make a lot of choices that are, they truly are heart and soul led. And then I figure out why it's right for me later. and I'm messy. Like I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I don't mind getting things wrong. I fail forward. That's kind of my motto. I do a lot of that, just trying things out. And yeah, I think that's the most, and highly creative. I'll say that as well. I'm also a singer-songwriter. I didn't say that before, but that's been a big part of what I've done for the past 30 plus years.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you have such a calming energy. I love talking to you. It just brings my system down. It's so helpful. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned that you're an expert in gene keys as well as human design. And I haven't talked about these systems much on the podcast yet. So if you can give an overview of what both of those systems are.
Absolutely. I think that probably most people have heard of human design more than the gene keys, because human design is kind of like a hot topic now. And it's called like the science of differentiation. But what does that actually mean? Essentially, it's an extension of astrology mixed in with the I Ching, mixed in with quantum physics, mixed in with a whole heap of other things. And we look at people's birth time, date, and location, just like in astrology. But the answers that human design, we'll start with human design, then we'll go into gene keys, right? Mm-hmm. Human design tells us about the way our energy works, because each of us is designed to use our energy a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. It helps to give us insights into, like, how can we manifest what we want without needing to succumb to the pressures of the outside world, conditioning of the outside world. And it's relevant to all of us, right? Because literally every single one of us was brought up by parents or by some sort of guardian and brought up in society. I would say 99.999% of us, right? Like that's our experience. And even if our parents are hippy dippies, like my mom was, right? Who very much tried not to impart herself onto me. We are just conditioned just by being around other people. And so what human design does is it kind of shines this light on how we've been conditioned and how that takes us out of our true self. So our conditioned self is kind of called the not self, right? So it's really, really helpful in terms of like everyday life. How am I designed to make decisions, to know what's right for me? So that's human design. Now, without looking at it, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I will say that a big part of human design are what's called the 64 gates. And so basically, if you put your info into, you can actually go and do this if you're listening, even if you want to, you know, if you want to pause and go look up your human design chart, you just look up mybodygraph.com and there will be a little thing that says free profile. And you'll get this image of your body and you'll notice that there are 1 to 64, all of these numbers in this image. And they're called the gates in human design. They're also related to the I Ching. So this is where the gene keys comes in. I'm giving you the whole history here. Mm-hmm. So there was this guy, Richard Rudd, who studied with Ra Uhuru, who was the creator of human design. He studied with him for years. And Richard Rudd was a scholar of the I Ching. And he's a poet. He's just this magnificent man. And he decided, or I don't even know if he decided, he channeled this whole further descriptions of each of those 64 gates, right? And it really, these gates really give us a nuance into who we are, because some of them are for us and some of them, it's not that they're not for us, but some of them are consistent in our lives and some of those gates are not. So when we really understand the ones that are consistent, we can see what our genius is. So through the gene keys, he took each of these gates and he said, well, there's a shadow way that it expresses, which is when you're in fear. There's a gift frequency that it expresses, which is like when you're in alignment with who you are. And then there's this high level transcendent way that you can experience these things. And those are, you know, we're kind of reaching towards that. That's like our mystical selves. So that's the gene keys. And the gene keys really tells us, both human design and the gene keys tell us, they give us insights into who we were always meant to be. Again, life gets in the way of that. Our conditioning, the stories we tell, our trauma, all of these things can stop us from being who we're meant to be. And both of these tools are really geared towards spiritual development and personal growth. That's like a little summary. That's a lot there. But I really do highly recommend, like, if you are a seeker, if you're someone who's just like on a path of discovering more about yourself, like looking into each of these systems, you can download the profiles for free online and just start to explore.
Yes, and I totally agree. I was fully obsessed with human design for a number of years there, and it really helped me understand myself better. And then when I had the reading with you around the gene keys, I was just like, oh, I see how these pieces are connecting. And so I know you have a system that you have developed that has helped integrate both human design and gene keys called the Success Codex Index. Yeah. And so if you can talk more about that and what your offering is.
Yeah, absolutely. So because I work with entrepreneurs, I'm always looking at things through this entrepreneurial lens. Like, how can I help soul-led? And also, I am a soul-led entrepreneur. So how can we use these systems for really to help us find more success in a way that's aligned, where we're not compromising who we are and trying to fit into boxes that we're not really even meant to fit into, right? Because every time we try to be like someone else, we're just making it harder for ourselves. The path of least resistance is the path that's just aligned to our true nature. And so I've been doing these readings for a very long time, and I started to notice all of my clients at some level were hitting this point of just confusion with the words of the gene keys. Like, they would kind of get it, but kind of not get it. And the whole system of the gene keys, it's really built to be contemplated for years. Like, you can take one gene key and contemplate it for years. But my clients are like, yeah, but how do I apply this now? And I'm also like that. Like, I love taking these esoteric things and like, okay, but what do I do with it now? How can I live this now? And so what just kind of like what happened with Richard Rudd, where he just downloaded these gene keys, I sat down one day with an intention to just make these two systems, but really probably more the gene keys, how to make it more accessible, how to make it more tangible, and how to make it more clear for people who are just in the beginning of this so they can dive into it right away. And I channeled this entire codex. And so essentially what it is it's a new translation of the gene keys, which includes archetypes. It includes cues on how to tell when you're aligned with it and how to tell when you're not aligned with it. It also tells you your genius. So instead of calling them gene keys, I call them key codes. And we look at 13 different aspects of business. And these aspects of business are related to different planets or planetary aspects. So there are people who do business astrology, right? So like if you're doing regular astrology, Venus might mean you're intimate partnerships. But from a business perspective, planet Venus and what's in astrology, right? What sign is there? And in this case, what key code is in there is going to tell you how can you attract more soul, like soul aligned clients, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at these 13 different aspects of business and your key code, whatever key code is there, that's what unlocks that aspect. So I'll share some of those pillars, or I call them gateways. So we've got visibility, we've got expression, we've got leadership, image, money, expansion, client attraction, like I said, flow and structure, which is kind of like masculine, feminine, your higher purpose, rebirth, full permission initiative. I think that's all of them. I think that's all 13, right? So we're looking at how are you designed to unlock those in your business?
My goodness, this sounds so incredible. I mean, it seems like it could be a new way of helping people who are trying to put out their own service in the world with whatever business they have. How can they do it in a way that actually feels good to them, so we're not, you know, on these hamster wheels just constantly driving ourselves and burning ourselves out? And so how did you come up with this idea of this codex? And what was that process like for you when you were channeling this information?
Yeah. So, oh gosh. I have to say, like my son, which wherever your son is, you know, in astrology, they say, what's your sign? Mm-hmm. And you say that sign, right? If when you think about the sun in the universe, in our little solar system, right? The sun is so much bigger than all the planets. Okay. And so it has, they say whatever planet, or in this case, key code is in your sun is like, it's the biggest part of your personality and makes up 70% of who you are. So my key code is, it's the gift of decoding. And the archetype is I'm the translator. So what started to happen was that, first of all, that was a key code that I could not translate for myself. It's like I was too close to it. Mm-hmm. But when I started to go through and go kind of key code at a time and just, it's like something switched in my mind. It was just like, oh no, wait, this is the word that sums this up in a really tangible, easy way, right? Mm-hmm. This is the archetype that people are going to be like, oh yeah, I totally get that, right? So as I was doing that, my gift unlocked, my gift of being the translator and decoding, it was like something just went off for me. And so this process, it is arduous. I'm not going to lie. There's so much detail and like, it's so much work. And every time I sit down to do it, I am so fulfilled and so excited. It's like, I don't remember a time where I've ever done this much work and it's felt so like it's fed me so deeply. And I'm not even talking financially. I'm just saying the process. I am also giving readings, which is feeding me financially. But it's really like a testament to the system itself and what this whole system represents. It's like when you can get into the groove of what you are here to do and apply it to whatever you're doing, right? Like maybe it wouldn't be this context if I wasn't doing this system. Maybe there was something else. And in fact, that's a lot of what I do. Now I see it. I didn't see it then, right? But even as a songwriter, what was I doing? I was taking emotions and translating them into a song. Mm-hmm. So I really, truly believe that in this path of least resistance and how, you know, it's like my fantasy for humanity that we can all find what is the thing that we're just, that just lights us up, that we feel so nourished to serve with, because the whole world would be so much more fulfilled and happy and grounded and healthy if we were doing the work that we really are here to do, that we really love.
I completely agree with that. I agree with you in the fact that I think that everyone here is someone who's incredibly unique, incredibly special, and we each have our own thing that we could give to not only ourselves, but to others that could just revolutionize just our experience of life. And yet we, as you had mentioned before, are so conditioned into who we should be and who we need to be. And for you, what was that process of releasing some of your conditioning to allow yourself to open up to be this more free and fulfilled version of yourself in an authentic way?
Ooh, this is a big one for me, because I'm really somebody who, in my, you know, I've been an entrepreneur in some way, shape, or form for like 15 years. More seriously in the past, I would say 5-ish. And the process of deciding that I, you know, making an internal decision that I wanted to be successful, and not necessarily putting like a money amount to that, but like just deciding like, okay, I really want to go for this. That actually put me in a state where I gave all of my authority away, and I was paying. I mean, I can't even tell you how much money I spent on mentors and coaches and programs, looking for someone to tell me how to do it. And what happened was, over those years, it eroded my self-confidence. And actually, it's really interesting. What caused that shift for me was the discovery of human design and gene keys. Like, once I really, and more gene keys than human design, because I actually got into gene keys more deeply before I got into human design. That was like this permission slip. And once I started to really dive into this and, gosh, like just start to accept my genius for what it is and stop thinking it needed to look like anyone else, like just like you were saying, right? Like we all have our own unique way that we're meant to be in the world. And I wasn't honoring that. So when I finally started to honor it, I actually feel like the layers of all of that trying and forcing and, you know, people pleasing and trying to prove myself, I feel like they just kind of fell away. It wasn't, for me, it was not a hard process to let go of that, because those things literally stopped mattering once I felt what alignment feels like.
I am envious of that, because I am still in this process of trying to release. And I'm really working on this word trying, because I know there's a lot of resistance just in that word. But I am so interested in talking to people who seem to have allowed that conditioning to shed away, because it is so heavy for some of us who, you know, still are connected to people who say that we should be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so do you run into that with any of your clients that you work with, where they may have family or bosses or friends that are still dictating to them what they need to be doing in their lives? And how do you kind of approach that?
Absolutely. And like, truth be told, that's like, my husband doesn't get anything that I do. So there's always that, like, that's here, right? That's like here in the field with me. He's supportive, but like, you know, there's, it comes from a very different paradigm, but yes, to answer your question concisely, yes. A lot of my clients are on that edge of, it's almost like they sense what's possible for them, but it feels like there's this almost like an invisible wall. And that wall, I find, like in my own experience, and really what I've seen a lot of, is we make up that that wall has something to do with us, but it's, or has something to do with the outside world. Like, it's their pressure, it's their, you know, their conditioning, but it's that word. It's like a magic word that you used, allowing. It's really about just allowing ourselves, like just allowing ourselves. You know, I find that change takes place when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what that crux is. So for me, really spending time and reflecting on just how painful it is to be where I'm at when I'm not happy, right? Like, when things are not working, and it's not about being a victim and it's not about feeling sorry for myself, but like really owning the fact that, like, okay, this is familiar to my nervous system. Yes, this feels, you know, I don't really have to stretch here. It confirms the story I have about myself, right? But all of those things, like, when I compare it to who I know I can be in my heart, like who I really know I can be, it just feels so out of balance that I'm just say, I'm going to allow these pieces to fall away. And it's scary because, you know, change is uncomfortable. And even if we know what we're moving towards, we don't really know what we're moving towards. It's really all made up. So there's a big mystery on that other side of that wall, on that other side of that edge. But it's worth it, because the cost of staying the same is, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like life is long, but it's also short. Like, life is long and I don't want to spend it having to be something that I'm not, because it takes a lot of energy.
It does. It absolutely does. And I can definitely, when I allow myself to dig into these higher views and visions of who I could be, either through Gene Keys, Human Design, it allows me to feel like I can breathe a little bit easier inside of myself. And I don't feel like I'm pushing to try and be someone. It's just this, again, that allowance of allowing myself to be who I am. And so with your program, how long is it? How many weeks do you work with your clients? And what kind of support do they get as they're in the program?
Yeah, so I'm actually designing the full group program now. So what I've been doing in the meantime is I'm doing readings. So these Success Codex readings. And so there's 13 key codes. So we're obviously not going through all of them at once. But what we'll do is there's four different sequences. And each sequence has four different key codes that we go through. So I, you know, clients can choose based on what their challenges are in their life. So if you have a money challenge right now, like a financial challenge, like I want to be earning more, we'll look at the income sequence. If it's a challenge about being seen and being heard and creating, you know, maybe being a leader, we would look at what's called the impact sequence. And those are kind of the external sequences, right? Like money. So it's income and impact. Internally, if you feel like there's a struggle between your masculine and feminine, or another way to put that is like the part of you that like can really use structure in a healthy way and can really let yourself be in the cycles of life and flow, that's called the harmony sequence. So it's masculine, feminine, and purpose, structure, flow, and purpose. And then the fourth sequence is called the catalyst sequence. And this is all about transformation. So it includes full permission to be yourself, initiative, and rebirth. So kind of depending on where my clients are at or where you're at, we would decide together, or maybe a lot of people come and they're like, oh no, I need this catalyst. I'm right on the edge of something, right? And so we do readings. And for now, I am custom making all of the codexes. I'm looking for a app developer or a software developer to help me just plug it all in and it populates for me right now. But so everyone gets a codex and then we go through these four pieces. And I just, you know, it's kind of like the Gene Keys reading that we had. And so when I'm planning, I'll say just like a tidbit that is still in the works is it's probably going to be a 6-month program where we go through two different gateways a month. Mm-hmm. So there will be training and also coaching and workshopping. I'm very big into workshopping because I don't know about you, but if I join a program and like, I don't do the work half the time, but right. If we're all coming together to do the work, I do the work.
Exactly.
So that's how I run and lead a lot of my programs.
Excellent. Yes. And I love that it is these four different sections that are, you know, externally focused, internally focused, because sometimes I feel like we miss that piece because our world tends to be very like external, you know, what can you see? How can we make this make sense? But that internal piece is where I find a lot of the times we don't do as much work because then it takes that time to know yourself, which can be really hard when you don't have mirrors that are really supportive of that. And so with the internal pieces, the harmony piece and the catalyst piece, as people are coming against some of their less resourceful programs inside of themselves, or maybe I'm not worthy of success, or I'm afraid of success, how do these keys help unlock or shift some of those programming?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So that's the piece where I put in these alignment cues, like how to know if you're aligned and how to know when you're not aligned. Because I think that sometimes what happens, especially with these internal pieces, is, and actually all parts of ourselves, like we're just kind of blind to ourselves because we're so close we can't see it. Maybe I use this example in explaining it to you before, but like I always think of a pointillization painting, those paintings made up of, you know, thousands of dots. And when you're really close, we just see dots. But when we step away, we can see what the picture is. And sometimes we just need a cue to let us know, oh, that's, I can recognize, I know that feeling. I know when I'm being pedantic, right? Or I know when I'm being intolerant, I can recognize that feeling for me. And when we recognize when we're out of alignment, that's our cue to come back. And I've got guiding questions to help bring you back into alignment. And I also do subconscious reprogramming. That's a big part of, you know, what I do, not so much in a one-to-one reading, but in mentorship and in longer term containers. I do a lot of subconscious reprogramming because, you know, so many of our, we don't know where our blocks come from. It's not, that's why they're called subconscious, right? They're like deep in the mind, but there are processes that we can go through to get that stuff that's way underneath and bring it to the surface and then neutralize it. So we have a little bit more freedom of choice.
Completely. And I am, my area of focus right now is on that subconscious reprogramming. I'm going through an NLP course, which it's kind of where that question came from, is understanding that there is so much more to who we are that's under the surface that we don't have conscious access to. And having someone who's able to like shine that light, you know, to like extend our perception of reality or to shift the lens on how we're perceiving reality, I think it's one of the most crucial things and gifts that we can give one another. And
absolutely.
So
it's like why we need relationship in general too,
completely.
Right? Like
we just can't
see it on our own.
Exactly. And so when you are doing that subconscious reprogramming for people, what is your process for doing that?
So I have a few different tools that I use. So my favorite is, maybe you've heard of this woman, her name is Caroline Elliott. And she wrote a book called Existential Kink.
Yes.
And she has this process. Mm-hmm. It's called the Deepest Fear Inventory. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I love to start with clients. And it's really fun. And I'll just share like kind of the process here, right? So you think about what's that thing that I want really, really bad. And let's just say, you know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. So it's like $10,000 months. I want 10K months, right? So you start, you get out a piece of paper and on the top of the paper, you're like, I hate and reject having 10K months because I have a deep fear of that. And then you just, you literally brain dump. I have a deep fear that, you know, if I'm rich, people won't like me. I have a deep fear that I will be judged. I have a deep fear that I will gain all the money and then lose all the money. Whatever the subconscious brings out, right? You're just writing these out. You do it kind of as fast as you can. I like to just like set a timer and just get, it's literally just like a brain dump. And what starts to happen, I feel like once you get to like the eighth one, the ninth one, sometimes I'll try to get to 20, some weird ass things start to pop up. Mm-hmm. And when those pop up, I'm like, those are the ones. Or sometimes you'll write something and you just get like that pit in your stomach sinking in kind of feeling. That's how you know, right? All of them are relevant, but you'll know that some of them are stronger than others. And so what that does is it gives us an insight into, like, closer to the root cause of why you don't have the thing that you want. It feels weird to be like, I don't want that. But when you really think about it, like, we always get there's a secondary gain to everything. Everything that we don't have, we get something out of it, whether it's I get to stay the same, or I get to not be challenged, or I get to stay in my marriage, or, you know, whatever things we make up. And those, you know, those are the pieces that kind of unlock what that is. And then after we have kind of that fear, and I'll go through a similar process to tag the emotion that we're trying to avoid. And then I take them through something called the faster tapping method. So it's like an EFT, but with a lot of pattern interrupters.
Oh, it sounds like you've thought of so many different aspects of how you can really help someone just reprogram themselves. And I think it's such an amazing offering. I think we need more people in the world who are doing this work and who understand this work, because when we are able to shift how we're seeing the world, it truly does unlock and change how we just experience life in general.
It does. Absolutely. It does. There's so much more freedom.
And when you are in this process of allowing people to have more freedom in their life, or just more authenticity and alignment in their life, what is that process? Because I know in sessions with different people that I've worked with, there comes this moment where I feel that freedom, that expansion, that alignment, but then there seems to be like a maintenance process, maybe, or some kind of integration process, that if I don't continue to reinforce that feeling of alignment, getting into that state of being free, I shift back into who I once was. And so, do you offer that kind of support to help people understand the importance of that maintenance of their work?
Absolutely. That's actually, it's so funny, because before I was doing this work, I was really, really heavy into what I called micro practicing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all have like our daily practice, but for me, like I'm a mom, two kids, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm busy. And so there was a time in my life where I could like sit and meditate for an hour and a half. That's not possible in my life anymore. I mean, it's possible, but not really, right? And so what I did for myself was I created these teeny tiny practices that would put me in the embodiment of what I wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So if it was peace, I would schedule in my phone, you know, 4 times a day, a 3-minute pause where I put my hand on my heart and stop everything and feel peace, right? And so I always love to give homework, and they're really simple homework pieces, right? Because, and maybe I'm projecting onto people, right? But like, I just know that we're busy. And you are completely right, because an aha is amazing. But if we don't change our behavior to match that, what we get from that aha, then we go right back into the old habits. And you know what? I do want to say there's no shame if that happens. Like, we're literally designed to it, to be like that. I'm going to use the weirdest like story reference. When my kids were little, we had the Bernstein Bears and the Bad Habit book. And Mama Bear talks about a bad habit is like pushing a wheelbarrow down the same path again and again and again, right? And so there's this groove in the road. And then if you want to use a different path near it, right? Like, say you want to move the wheelbarrow over like a step, it's very easy to fall back into that old groove. And our baseline of being, right? Our kind of like who we've been, that's the groove. So in order for us to shift out of that, we have to make a new groove. And we can only make a new groove by going back over the new path again and again and again. So in my longer term mentorship containers, like, that's a huge part. You know, I've been at this personal development, spiritual development, healing stuff. I'm 42 and a half. And I've been at this since I was 18. So I have a lot of tools. And so I love to just pull in, especially embodiment tools. How can I embody this? What are some of the things that we can do? We co-create it together, because I want to make sure that what I'm inviting them to do is actually can work for them, is in alignment, they get it. It feels like, I want them to feel excited to do it and like it's easy, instead of like, oh, homework, right? I'm air quoting here, right? Like, homework, wah, wah.
Totally. And I'm so glad that you brought up that piece around not having the shame when you fall back into that groove, because that is so much part of the process. It's a journey, right? When we are bringing up our old trauma and rewiring our programming, we aren't going to be, it's not a snap of the finger and you're just healed all of a sudden. And then there's also the other piece of, I see a lot of the times people, and for myself, it seems to be this never ending cycle of healing. Like you're on this perpetual wheel of like, okay, what else is wrong with me? What else is wrong with me? And so how do you help people to have the freedom to be like, you're okay right now. And we can also, you know, continue to improve without this shame and this guilt of like, oh my God, the burden of healing is so heavy.
Oh, such a good question. And like, if you're online, like I am online on Instagram and you know, healers and business folks and everyone, they're going to market to you and tell you what's wrong with you and the mistakes you're making. So it's very easy to feel like we have to keep up and there is no end to healing. And it can be a toxic addiction. Really, like my addiction was buying courses and programs, trying to give me the answers. Like, growth, you know, like here's the other piece of it, right? When there's this phrase, it's nothing on earth blooms all year, right? Like everything needs to, we need to pause sometimes. If we're not pausing, even just thinking about the cycle of life, right? Like I live in New Jersey, right outside of New York City, and it's getting cold. It was really cold today, right? And just thinking about like, okay, the winter is coming, right? This is the time that we're gearing down and honoring our inner cycles. If we keep going and going and going and trying to heal and trying to heal and trying to heal, we, just like you said, we reinforce a belief inside of ourselves that we're not okay. And like, let me be the testament to like, again, like I fail forward. I mess up all the time. Like I really do. There's more to heal. But at some point, if the healing, if believing that we need to heal before we can be successful, before we can go after our dreams, before we can be in a relationship, before we can honor our body. Oh, I just need to heal this first. Then it's really just a self-sabotage tool. And it's hard to say that, right? Because I love to grow and I love to heal, but it's not all about the healing. It's about the living.
Yes. I mean, just understanding that, or bringing into our awareness that this healing journey can be an addiction as well, and it can be a self-sabotage thing. I find that it can be really challenging for people to acknowledge the ways in which we are in habits that are addictive for us, because it then shines light on greater shadows, right? Greater shadows of unworthiness and of fear of just of ourselves. And when there is that resistance in someone that you're working with, or just comes up in yourself, what are some of the ways that are, you know, compassionate and spacious ways of holding space for that fear? Because it is a very real experience of, you know, it could be a voice from the past or just something we've picked up on in our own selves.
Yeah. So there's two tools that I really love for this. The first is simply to place our hands back on our chests, on our hearts, and really, there's like a phrase that I love to say, which is, I kind of change it every time, but I'll quintessentialize it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I allow myself to be exactly as I am right now. And letting that be the starting point, because so often the shame and the guilt and the feeling like we need to, you know, like keep on healing and I'm not enough, it roots from a place of not allowing ourselves to be who we are. So we start with that. And it seems too simple, but it really is so powerful. Like if you wanted to take a daily practice out of this call, let it be that. Hand on your heart, I allow myself to be exactly as I am in this moment, right? So, so simple. So that's the one piece. And then the other tool, I don't even know if it's a tool, but it's a perspective, which, you know, to me, the parts of us that are afraid are the parts of ourselves that have never truly let love in. So I feel like it's my job. It is my job, my duty, my sacred responsibility to love the parts of myself that are difficult and afraid, right? You can think of like a small child who's throwing a tantrum because they want attention, but they want love, they want connection. And the parts of ourselves, the shadow, the parts that we make wrong and we push aside, those parts get louder and louder because they need our love, mm-hmm. because they need our love. So when we can approach like all of the parts, yeah, even the parts that we're ashamed of, I mean, it's a stretch. I'm not going to lie. It's a stretch. Like, how can I love that part of myself? How can I accept that part of myself? Right? Like, that's the other thing. Like, but we can accept something and it doesn't mean that we have to like the way it is, but we can accept it for what it is. And so that might sound like, I'm feeling really ashamed right now. And I'm going to love myself. I'm so weird, right? But I talk to myself all the time. I like, if I'm sad, I hug myself. Like I'm very, it's part of my own healing process, but I will just say like, I love you anyway. I love you, shame. Of course you feel ashamed. Of course you feel afraid. I'm here. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to betray you. I'm not going to abandon you. You can be exactly as you are here. And what I find is the more that I embrace those parts of myself that at one point I was pushing away, they soften. They soften.
Yes. And it's that piece of being in relationship with ourselves. Mm. I think that's another thing that I wasn't programmed to be in good, healthy relationship with myself or conditioned that way. And so when you started your journey at 18 and then onward, how did you allow yourself to actually get into relationship with yourself and then love who you are?
Yeah. So I struggled with addiction really in my teens through my mid-20s, like early to mid-20s. And I feel like a big part of learning how to be in relationship with myself was healing my eating disorder, because I had an eating disorder and it really made me disassociate and it really made me disembodied and disconnect from my body. So a big part of my learning how to be in relationship with myself was, it actually started with learning how to be in relationship with my body. And sometimes I ask this question a lot in a lot of different contexts, right? But like in terms of the body, you can even ask yourself this. It's like, if I was in a romantic relationship with my body, what's my relationship status? Right? Like, and when we think about, we are in relationship with ourselves, whether it's relationship with our hearts, relationship with our desires, relationship with our bodies, relationship with our minds too, right? Like we make our minds so, like modern spirituality makes the mind so bad and even makes the ego so bad. And they're just there. They're not bad. They just are, right? Like, okay, we don't want them to like run the show, but like, you know, we want to be in relationship with these things. And so we start to ask ourselves, what kind of partner am I being to my body? What kind of partner am I being to my mind? What kind of partner is my mind being to me? Is this relationship in balance? More often than not, for me, I would say like my habit that disconnects me in relationship is I just stop listening. Like I get really busy, mm-hmm. as we do. I get busy and I forget to check in. I forget to check in with my body, right? So this looks, it's something I'm always working on, especially while I'm working on the codex, because I can sit and work for hours and hours. I'm a generator, right? So I keep on going because I'm so lit up and I forget to eat. Mm. So I have to actually set an alarm on my phone that says, eat. I'm like, oh yeah. And I pause and I go, sorry, you're rumbling stomach and I completely did not hear you because I was like tunnel vision. So that's the process. It's like, how can I be a better partner?
Mm. Yes. I love that so much. And thank you so much for saying that, because we focus a lot, again, on the external of our external relationships and our raising our children, and our partners and our family. And it's like, well, what about the one person you're going to be with for the rest of your life?
So true. And it's easier. I think it's easier to focus on other people. Mm-hmm. Right? Because even though we can definitely be emotionally embroiled in our partners and our children, I think it's just easier than actually facing what our big deep fears are. But when we can really have a healthy relationship with ourselves, it's when we become unwavering in our truth. It's where we're like, we feel so self-assured and so, I'm going to use the word determined. But yeah, I think it is. There's like a determinedness, like, or resolute, like where we just are just being our true selves becomes a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And then when that's then we don't waver in our relationships. You know, like how many times do we get into a relationship, we kind of like blend into that person or we compromise. It's not that we don't compromise some things, but we're not going to compromise the important things because we're not supposed to.
Yes.
Like fine, you have dirty dish, you leave a dirty dish out. Right. That's different than like, I'm not allowed, like you judge me when I speak. Like, no, nope, I'm not keeping quiet, right?
Not
like
happening. That,
right, not going to happen.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for me, it was a very similar thing is once I allowed myself, because again, I'm someone, like you had said, I talk to myself all of the time. I feel like such a weirdo. And, you know, again, that's another program though, because we were programmed to think that it's weird to talk to yourself. But as soon as I allowed myself to do it, it's like people outside of me started treating me differently because I now have this, you know, self-respect and integrity within myself. And so you see how we are just mirroring and bouncing off of each other. And that's why I think it's so powerful to do the inner work, because then the external world, it will shift. I've just seen it so many times in my own life.
So completely true. I love that you brought that up because I think that it's hard to motivate yourself to do the uncomfortable thing and do that internal work sometimes, right? For other people, it's fun. But for at least a lot of my clients, it's like they want to do it, but there's still this like, oh, do I really want to do it? But when you start to see the impact of it on your outside world, when you're shifting your internal world, it's so much easier to change your life from the inside out than the outside in. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier. We think if I just get into that fitness habit, then I'm going to change. But we have to use so much willpower to get into that fitness habit when it's an external thing, as opposed to really aligning with, I am a healthy person. And we start just behaving like that healthy person, right? Or I'm an active person, whatever it is. It's so different. Mm-hmm. I feel like focusing on the outside, even though it doesn't target those internal feelings, it's just so much more effort. Again, like I'll work hard on something I love, but I don't want to waste my energy. Like life is too short for that.
Totally. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's the weirdest thing when I started to, you know, internalize this feeling of I am becoming a more healthy person. There's a craving for, okay, let's move our body. There's a craving for let's get something that's nourishing rather than me being like, I should be eating this way or I should be, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
1000%, right? It's the difference between like wanting and having to, like wanting to mm-hmm. versus having to. And I feel like, you know, like it's a weird example. I'm anti-diet because of my eating disorder past, right? Like I just don't really believe in dieting, but like, I feel like a lot of us have had that experience where we're like, when we have that internal decision, like I'm going to be healthy and eating healthy is really easy. And then we also have that experience of, I want to lose weight or I need to lose weight. And then eating healthy is so hard mm-hmm. and it's the same behavior, but when we're in alignment with it, there's flow. And when we're forcing it, there isn't.
Exactly. Exactly. And so understanding that that flow is available in all of these various aspects of our lives and how we're engaging, it shines the light on how easy it can be to step into this, you know, in the spiritual community, it's really popular to say, I want to be the highest version of myself or the best version of myself. And I kind of challenge that a little bit. And I'd be interested to hear what you say, because I feel like in this now moment, you couldn't be any better or higher than you already are. And so that future version of you, whoever is calling you into the future, they are going to be obviously different from you, but I don't know if it's better or worse than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's like a toxic, there's a thread of toxic, I don't know, something going through that sentiment. I really pick up on what you're saying here, because it's implying that we're not good now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that same thing of like, no, you know, I tend to think of it, okay, like I'll nerd out a little bit, but I think I'm in the quantum, right? When we talk about the quantum field and the field of possibility, like that version, that different version of you is here and available. It's more about like allowing ourselves to be that person. And you're right. It's not better. It's just different. But you know what? It's like, if we're constantly trying to be that better version, we don't appreciate the version we have. And we can't be that next version if we're not willing to be this version. It's you said the word hamster wheel at some point in the beginning, and that it, what a hamster wheel it is. Like constantly chasing this idea that like, I'm not my highest self. I also think it's a little bit bullshit because like, you know, I'm a human. Mm-hmm. Humans are not supposed to be perfect. I love the 5D. Don't get me wrong. I love all the transcendent vibes, but I don't want them if it means I have to forsake my regular human life. Like, I cherish this life. We are here to live. We're here to be challenged. It's not supposed to all be easy. That's okay. We're not always supposed. If we were all always our highest self, we wouldn't learn shit. Like, right. we need to like, we need to get beaten up a little bit by life. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Maya Luna, who's this incredible, she's a poet and a spiritual teacher. And she has this thing called Venus Church. And it's an 18-month journey through the cycles of Venus. And in, I think it was the first call of this, she was talking about death and how like death is literally what makes life precious. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit of a stretch here, but like, it's the same thing. Like you, where you are is what makes everything valuable, right? Like wherever we are, I have a feeling you get what I'm going at.
I totally get what you're saying, because it's that allowing us to sink into our bodies in the now moment and just take, again, that self-check-in. Am I okay? Yes.
Right.
And there's nothing you need to do right now. You can do whatever you want, but there's nothing you need to do right now. And it's just that piece in and of itself is, it helps me release that anxiety that I have. That's like, I need to be doing, you know, because that voice can go on forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think you're speaking really beautifully to like just the power of being present with ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Because that, all that worry about later, it's not actually here now.
Yeah.
You know, or all the, I don't know, bad feelings of the past.
Right? That too.
We're here. We're just here with ourselves. Like this is the to me, the quantum field is here. It's not out there. It's not back there. It's not, you know, same thing with spirit. I know in a lot of our spiritual teachings, right? Like we're seeking enlightenment outside of ourselves. We're seeking mm-hmm. heaven outside of ourselves. We're seeking God outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is very, very subtly, and also not so subtly, we start to think of our human lives and our bodies as this prison and this thing that's a barrier between ourselves and spirit. And so of course we can abuse our bodies.
Right.
Of course we can hurt other people, because life is not so precious when the most precious thing is beyond our human life.
Yes.
We have to come back.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was another one of those keys that helped me wake up to the need for a relationship with myself, mm. is I realized that I was at war with myself internally in favor of what I was trying to produce or achieve externally. And it's like when you cease fire internally, wow. You can just breathe a little bit easier and you understand that, okay, there are conflicting aspects of myself, but we don't have to fight anymore.
Yeah. It's like that's like a different way of looking at inner peace, but that's like the true inner peace, right? When mm-hmm. when all of the polarity within us gets to just be okay with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always wonder, because you were talking about earlier, the fantasy that you have for humanity. I always wonder what humanity could be, or what it could look like in the future if we, and not that I would need everyone to go on the journey and do their inner work. Like, you know, we don't want to fall into the evangelizing of our own ways of being, but also if there are those of us who have a desire to do this work and what it could look like for a future, how we could, you know, help those who don't have any interest in going internal. Do you have any kind of like vision for the future of what that could look like for just humanity in general?
I have not, honestly, I haven't really thought about that, but kind of what's coming up when you're saying is I'm just remembering what you were saying earlier, that point that you made about when you do the internal work, it shifts the external. And mm-hmm. I can just see, and I do believe that, like I see each one of us, like we're the proxy for the healing of the planet. Like sometimes when I'm in ceremony or when I'm in prayer, or when I'm just doing nothing and just sitting with myself and just connecting to something greater, like I do really believe that I'm not really doing it for me. Like I really am doing it for everyone. I mean, it is for me and it's not, you know, it's like the greater good of all. I wish we had more reverence for life collectively. I'm getting emotional, but I really do. I really do. I feel like, we're in really tumultuous times. And you know what? My husband's a history teacher. Times have always been tumultuous, right? Mm-hmm. We've been pretty lucky. Our generation has not really had to face a lot of this. And we're starting to face it now. And it does bring us into our humanity, hopefully, right? For some of us, for some, we have to shut down because it's just too hard to bear. But my prayers are just always for the collective. For the collective peace, love, respect.
Completely. And the last point here that I wanted to bring up is sometimes there is this narrative or idea that doing the inner work is selfish, right? Or it's navel gazing or all of these things. But I think you bring up a really beautiful point in that because it is a reflective experience and we are shifting not only our own little environments, but the ecosystem in general. Can you speak a little bit to how this is collective work, even if it's just the work you're doing inside of yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's like we talked about relationship, our relationship with ourselves. And we are in relationship with everything. We're an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We are, like, you know, even if like you close your eyes for a moment and you picture the earth, it's like what I picture is like a little tendril of energy for each person, for each plant, for each, you know, everything. Like we're all connected to this earth. There's no way that what we do doesn't impact the whole. And maybe it's small, but to what you were saying before, it's like compounding. It can compound into a really huge impact, but it won't happen if we discredit and devalue doing our inner work and really coming into peace with ourselves. I have a very tangible example as a mother, right? And seeing the difference between when I am grounded and deeply connected to myself and honoring my body and respecting myself, how it changes the entire energy of my family, how my kids are more grounded when I am more grounded, you know, how when one, or, you know, not even me, when one of my kids is upset, it sends the whole thing, the whole system off kilter, right? Or my husband or me, right? Any of us. Because we're an ecosystem, we're a system. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like part of our, again, it's like a sacred responsibility. If we can pick up the mantle of my health, my wellness, my peace, my groundedness, my love impacts the whole, you know, sometimes it actually makes it easier for us to do the hard work when we really tap into the impact that it has on others. You know, like even just saying like, I don't want to sit and meditate today. Okay, well, I'm going to go sit and meditate for the woman who literally can't because, you know, she's afraid that her husband's going to beat her, right? Okay, it's a little dark, but like, really, like, let me do it for her. Let me do it for them. And it helps us get out of our own way and serve through our own growth and healing.
Thank you for that. So beautifully said. And how can people find you? How can they work with you, get a reading or session with you?
Definitely look for me on Instagram or Facebook. It's at Ankara Rose, A-N-K-H-A-R-A-R-O-S-E. And through there, I've got links for readings. Right now, I do have openings for Success Codex readings. So if that spoke to you and you want to get in, definitely come on in. And I will be sharing. I've got a bunch of like specials coming up for Black Friday. This conversation was great because it actually like lit a fire under my ass to be like, all right, let's just get this Success Codex program going. Like, yeah. Let's just get it going. I woke up thinking about that and this was like the yep. So yep. Perfect. So stay tuned for that. Definitely, you know, and I really invite everyone, like if you know, just come and say hi to me. Like I really love connecting one-to-one. I won't sell to you. It's not like that. Like come in my world so you can buy my stuff, but like, let's connect like human beings. That would mean a lot to me. Oh, and I just reopened my free Facebook group. So it's called Gene Keys Human Design and the Success Codex. If you look it up, I don't know if you'll find it. I need to like get a shorter URL, but that's another really great place. And I love to give like kind of mini readings and little things in there too.
Perfect. And I'll get all that information from you and put it in the show notes so that it's available. Well, thank you so much, Ankara. This was beautiful. I love this conversation. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was it was really wonderful.
And if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Instagram at Mental Magic Podcast with a period in between each word. Thanks as always for listening.